Krishna. Today, we are very happy. For a long time, we have wanted to come to this auspicious place. Grihastha literally means that the home becomes an ashram. If the home is not an ashram, we are not Grihastha, we are Grihamedi. That means the whole is a dark, deep well of material existence. And the purpose of ashram is to cultivate divine consciousness, which is the purpose of life. The Daivi Varnashram system was created by Krishna. Chatur-varna-mayastristam-guna-karma-vibhagasya. For the purpose of elevating human society, people of all nature, walks of life, according to a person's particular gunas and karmas, that means their qualities and their natural inclination to work, everyone is directed to live in such a way that they can purify their consciousness and attain spiritual realization. Atapum birdvijastreshtash varna shrama vibhagasha shvanustatasya dharmasya samsidir hari toshanam. That the purpose and perfection of the whole varnashram system is simply to please Krishna. If we perform our work and Krishna is pleased, we are success. Grihastha means husband, wife, children, home, sometimes occupation. And none of these activities are a disturbance or a diversion from our spiritual life if we learn the art of Krishna consciousness. People talk about the art of living, but Bhagavad Gita specifically explains the art of living, that whatever we do should be done with consciousness of our real identity. To just understand that this world is an illusion and stop activities is not the art of living. To understand that Krishna is the enjoyer, the proprietor, and the ultimate friend and object of love of every living being, and to live with this understanding, that is art of living. So we have a home. The home should be the Lord's abode. The husband, the wife, the children are all living in the home as servants of the Lord. Today in this auspicious home, we see Krishna is quite all-pervading. Various artistic forms Krishna is manifesting. There is a brass deity here, and there are marble deities there, and there are beautiful paintings here, and sculptured carvings there. Very well. And today the family has brought these beautiful deities to install on the altar of their home, to officially and formally recognize that we are Krishna's property. And we are meant for Krishna's service. That is actual bhakti. Sometimes people have the deity, so many deities in their homes. Sometimes it is fashionable. Sometimes it's just a type of artistic demonstration. Sometimes it's just to maintain certain pious traditions of the family. But Yogesh and Sonia, they actually understand the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita. They understand that Krishna is a person. He is the source of the impersonal Brahman. He is the source of the Paramatma who is seated in everyone's heart. He is the cause of all causes. And to love him, to know him, and to serve him is the only real purpose of existence. They have brought these beautiful deities from a distant place and invited all of us today to take part in this very auspicious and joyous occasion. We have come here to celebrate. Actually, this is a celebration. The celebration of a family that is sincerely and genuinely endeavoring to put devotional service to Radha and Krishna as the center and purpose of their life. It is very rare. In Kali Yuga, the center of families is generally economic development and sense gratification. But that is also the center of the lifestyle of the animals. They have their type of economic development. They may not deal with rupees and dollars, but they have their facilities. The bird has his nest made out of straws, and the bear has his cave. They're out throughout the day working hard for money. Srila Prabhupada explains the most powerful, prestigious animal in the forest is the tiger. And yet he said, usually the tiger is always hungry. Because although he's the king of the jungle, it's hard for him to get food. Because everybody knows he's so powerful. All the other animals, as soon as they see the tiger, they immediately escape. So it's a very lonely life, being a tiger. In fact, there's a little bird. This little bird, he is the tiger's worst enemy. You have seen these Bengali tigers? They're very big, big claws and teeth. They could run fast. This little bird, just a tiny bird, he lands on the tiger's back. And he just sings a song. And when he sings a song, essentially what he's singing is, the tiger is coming, the tiger is coming. And every animal in the forest hears the loud voice of this little tiny bird saying, a tiger is coming. So wherever the tiger goes looking for food, there's no one around. And the tiger, he can eat that little bird with just in one swallow. But he can't ever get to him. Historically, the tiger has never caught that little bird. He's always just landing on his back and flying over his head saying, the tiger's coming, the tiger's coming. Frustration. So amongst the animals, even if you're the king, the most powerful, still there's so much stress, so much anxiety. So however big and great we may become in our position, if we're simply striving for bodily maintenance, we are not evolved in any way from the spirit of the animals. What differentiates human being from animal is the search for truth. Inquiry, who am I? What is the purpose of life? Who is God? What is my relationship with God? Why am I suffering? What is beyond death? These questions begin human existence. Bahunam janmanamante jnanavamam papadyate vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sudurlava. After many, many, many births, even as a human being, at least in the species, following religion, when one finally comes to the point of actual knowledge, he surrenders to Krishna. knowing Vasudeva Krishna to be the cause of all causes and all that is. We have with us Janani Vas Prabhu. He's been a brahmachari for the past 30 years, living a very simple life, completely renounced, no possessions, but he has the great wealth of devotion. He just lives in a little room in Mayapur Dham. It's not even his. He just sleeps on the floor of the public pujari room. But for the past 30 years, he has been finding the greatest ecstatic pleasure in just serving Sri Sri Radha Madhava. For many years, Radha Madhava were just small brass deities. Big, big, beautiful marble deities, and then Astasakis have come. He has given his life in the service of Srila Prabhupada to serve these deities. This is an example of brahmachari, dedicating his ashram to the service of the Lord. And there are examples of sannyasis, vanaprastas, also, who renounce everything of the world just to engage their mind, their body, their senses, and their words completely in the Lord's service. And the best service to the Lord is to enlighten people in devotion to God. And most of the world is married people. Therefore, we find in the scriptures the greatest emphasis is given in how married people perfect their lives. Srimad Bhagavatam, Mahabharata, the Puranas, so many stories of kings. Because in one sense, a king is the least likely person to be God conscious. But yet the king considers himself to be the representative of God. Similarly, the father, I know in America, the father considers himself the king of the family. That means he's supposed to be the representative of God for the family. That is the actual duty. Guru na sasyat, swajini na sasyat, pita na sasyat, janini na sasyat. One has no right to be a father, a mother, a king, or a worshipable demigod unless they could lead their subordinates on the path of Sanatana Dharma. Ambarish Maharaj, such a great king. But yet, even though he was the king of the world, he was so simple, so humble, so devoted. He would fast and worship Lord Krishna for the welfare of his citizens. It taste the prasad of the Lord and sing the glories of the Lord. He would wash with his legs, he would go on pilgrimage to the places of the Lord's pastimes. With his head, he would bow down at the feet of the Lord and his devotees. And that is why, even today, long after he left this world, remembering him. If he was an ordinary king, these kings today, people will not remember. Because they have no impact on the eternal platform of truth. Swayambhuva Manu, what kind of a great person he was. Described, he was so wealthy so powerful. He was the king of humanity. But every day, because he had so much, he used it all for Krishna. When it was time for waking up in the morning, he had pure Vaishnava, Brahmins, gathered around his bed, singing prayers of the scriptures, singing the pastimes of Krishna. And that's how he would wake up every day. Not just an alarm clock going, they would be singing beautiful songs in praise of Krishna's pastimes. That's how he would wake up. First thing, he would offer his obeisances. Then he would go to the temple and worship the deity and chant the holy names of the Lord after taking his bath. Then he would give so much charity to the poor, giving them prasad and so many things. And give cows to the Brahmins. Then he would perform his work. And everything he did in his work was to help the society become Krishna conscious. Then when he would come home at night after working, he would be with his family. They would worship the deity. They would invite sadhus to their home and hear about Krishna from them. They would chant the names of the Lord. They would speak the glories of the Lord. They only took prasad. Then he'd lay down for sleep, and the Brahmins would come back and sing to him until he was asleep. The beautiful glories of Krishna. So his house was Vaikuntha. In fact, the scriptures say when the husband and the wife, when they do not fight, but together they worship the Lord in a congenial spirit, then that house becomes Vaikuntha, the spiritual world. Literally. Not figuratively, literally. It says Lakshmi Devi personally resides in the house where the husband and wife, in a congenial and harmonious way, are worshiping the Supreme Personality of God. So it is not that we have to die to attain Vaikuntha. We could live in Vaikuntha in this world. But it is a tremendous austerity, according to my theoretical understanding, for a husband and wife not to fight. But if we don't fight for the pleasure of Krishna, for the pleasure of the children. Children don't like to see these. They like to see people fighting on television and in the cinemas, but they hate to see their parents fight. It breaks their heart. When we have children, it is our first and foremost duty to make sure that these children will never have to take birth in this material world again. And they're not going to learn that at the schools they go to. They're not going to learn that in the social scene of Bombay. They'll have to learn that at home. And they'll have to learn that at the temples. So if the parents create such an attractive Krishna conscious environment at home and expose their children to sing the joyful spirit of devotion at the temple, at home, in other holy places, then it will leave a very deep impression in their hearts. That impression will become the prominent spirit of their life. Maharaj Parikshit, when he was just a little boy, small child, his play was with deities of Radha and Krishna. Very happy boy. And that's when even the greatest crisis came. He was cursed to die in 7 days. He was not disturbed by that. He understood that my life belongs to Radha Krishna. This is an opportunity to just hear about Krishna. I have a good excuse to resign from all these worldly duties as a king and just hear about Krishna. Because he had that impression throughout his life. Because whoever one is, however much we try to protect our children, we know for sure that sometime or other within life, so many crises will come upon us. See, like that. Little crises, big crises, we can take all precautions. But that's the way life is. At any moment, we bump our heads. Now, Parikshit Maharaj, he had big bump on head. Death sentence, 7 days. What is the use of whatever we do if we are not happy? And real happiness means being transcendental to the environment of tribulation that is forced upon us within this material world. On the way here, Shamanand Prabhu was teaching me some good lessons. He was telling me about the type of stress in the Western world. So much stress. Incredible. How people are suffering. Even though they have so much, within their hearts they have so little. But if we can fill our children, if we can actually give them the wealth of bhakti, of knowledge of God, of realization of God, of faith in Krishna, attachment to the holy names, attachment to the pastimes of the Lord, attachment to the service of the Lord, attachment to the devotees of the Lord, then those children, they are the wealthiest and they will be the greatest givers of charity. Then whatever may come in their life, they know how to deal with it by turning to Krishna. And that is what Bhagavad Gita is about. How to turn to Krishna and render service to Krishna, even at time of great crisis. That was Arjuna's condition. So this is only possible if we make our home an ashram. Ashram means Krishna's in the center, and we are all harmonizing together according to Krishna's plan. And it's actually so simple and so beautiful. Everyone in family has to eat. It's a big part of family life, is from what I remember. So we cook the foods that Krishna likes to eat, we offer it to Krishna, and then we give prasad to family. That means Krishna's in the center. And when there's kirtan, when there's sadhus and other devotees coming, and we try to model our life in such a way that when we come home, everything reminds us of Krishna. So these deities are being welcomed today specifically for this purpose. So because actually there's so many paintings and so many statues and so many reminders of Krishna in this house. What is the need of another going all the way to Jaipur to get these deities and making a beautiful altar to really offer Krishna our home, our family, our life, and make everything revolve around the service and the pleasure of Krishna. So I am very much grateful to Yogesh and Sonia and their two beautiful little children for their wonderful example. This family is known and loved dearly by all of our devotees because they're they're really pious in the true sense, in the devotional sense. They're always in good spirits, very humble, always so eager to serve, so eager to satisfy the devotees, so eager to participate in devotional activities and help in any way possible. And they're also very gracious, very grateful. Grateful for what Krishna is giving them and eager to reciprocate. So we are very much pleased with you and your family. And the children are so nice. See how she's taking shelter of her mother, and her mother's taking shelter of Krishna. This is parampara. And I know Krishna, Chandra Prabhu, and Radha Priya have the highest appreciation of Yogesh and Sonia and their children, deep appreciation. He's been calling me continuously, Krishna Chandra Prabhu, reminding me of this program, because he so much wants to encourage this wonderful family of devotees. And I'm very honored to be here. And on behalf of Srila Prabhupada and all of our previous acharyas, I pray from the very core of my heart that they may shower their most auspicious blessings upon you. Thank you very much. Haribo, did you understand everything I spoke? Yes. You also? Hari Hari. Janani Vas Prabhu has descended from Sri Mayapur Dham to give us his association. Would you like to speak something?
For the invitation to come here and the nice view of Bombay we had on the left. We went to the top to have a look around. Very nice.
Actually, in this case, the first floor is the highest place in this building. The higher you go, the lower you, the farther away you are from Krishna. We have discovered. We went all the way to the 40th floor and realized that the highest part of the building is the first floor. Where such nice devotional service is taking place.
Yeah, it's true. As soon as you get past the first floor, the first thing you see is the racetrack. So this is the racetrack, the rat race of life. But here you don't see it. You're in the topmost position. All the others are on the racetrack. The hard struggle for existence. So, Srila Prabhupada, he told us that don't think everybody will come and live in the temples, be sannyasis and brahmacharis and brahmacharinis. He said, no, our main congregation will live outside. That will be the main force of ISKCON, the main devotees, because maximum people are in Grihastha Ashram. So he said that will be the main devotees, congregation, all be living outside. So, the temple, he said, is a place where they can come, get association with devotees, get inspiration, and then incorporate that, introduce that in their households. So here, in this, we see such wonderful examples here. What actually Srila Prabhupada wanted, that people make their homes into temples. They follow the principles that Srila Prabhupada has given us in devotional service. Worshipping the deity, worshipping Tulsi Devi, chanting Hare Krishna. And the atmosphere it creates, devotional service or bhakti yoga, it attracts Krishna. So simply by your performing these activities in your house, the whole household becomes very attractive. And when other people come, your neighbors and things, you can invite them in. There will be a natural attraction awake, and they'll just come into a Krishna conscious atmosphere. And they may not notice it, but when they go out, they'll think, there's something different about my neighbor's house. Every time I go there, there's something different that we don't have in our house. What is it? And gradually they'll come to understand, no, it's because they have a Krishna conscious environment. There is devotional service here, there is bhakti. And this is what the living entity is looking for. They're living only in the rest of the 39 buildings. They're searching for happiness, that's what they're doing. They think they'll be happy if they live up the top, or wherever they're living. Wherever environment, the purpose of practically whatever we do in life is for happiness. Whatever anyone, in any status of life, what he does, he thinks, this will make me happy. So everybody is searching for happiness. But unfortunately, whatever happiness we get, we can't keep. We have seen, there were some other big buildings like this in America. They couldn't keep them. But even they stay up. Generally, they will outlive us anyway. We'll have to leave the building if the building doesn't leave us. So we can't keep our happiness in this material world. So when the living entity comes into contact with the devotee, something is awakened within him. And that something is, that's what I've been looking for in my life. It's in the subconsciousness it tells. I've never had this experience. I've been searching, but I've never come to had this experience before. Because it's a spiritual experience to live in the association of devotees. It's a reawakening of what we previously had, what we've forgotten. We were in the spiritual world. We were enjoying this ecstatic life with Krishna eternally. It's by our own choice, somehow or another, we've come into this material world, into this temporary place. But we have that feeling within, there is eternal happiness. And now I'm looking for that eternal happiness in the material world, with this material body. So completely illusioned by Maya's strong influence, identifying with this body and how to enjoy this body. Searching. We're never satisfied. Until we meet a devotee of Krishna, then satisfaction comes. It's said that just one moment's association with a devotee of the Lord, just one moment's association, will completely change your whole life and set you on the path back home, back to Godhead. Just one moment. One moment is calculated at 1/11th of a second. So it seems kind of an exaggerated statement to be in the presence. Not even a touch person or just, but to be in the presence of a devotee for 1/11th of a second, your whole life will be changed. Yeah. So what actually happens there is that in the subconsciousness you actually feel it. This is what I'm looking for. This is what I've been looking for billions and billions and billions of births. Searching. There's something there. What was it? The subconsciousness is telling you. So then you become more inquisitive. Oh, there's a devotee. Then you start to associate. That faith builds up. And then association. Sadhu Sangha. Then you practice to follow the instructions of the devotees. Bhajana Kriya. And by doing that, anatana, all the unwanted things will go in the way in the heart. All the dirty things will be dispelled. What are all those dirty things in the heart? I am a woman. I am a man. I am a Hindu. I am an Indian. I am an Englishman. These are all dirty things. But we are hanging on to these identifications very strongly. By the process of Krishna consciousness, all this misidentification will go away. And then we'll actually start to get real taste for the holy name, real attachment for Krishna, real feeling from Krishna from the heart. Well, this is an awakening process. Krishna consciousness is an awakening process. But it must be done in association of devotees. So that's why it's so important that there are houses like this. They become little shelters, spiritual shelters for other people who can come and associate with like-minded devotees. And in this way, the whole world can very rapidly become Krishna consciousness. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you don't have to change your position, go to the forest or give up anything. You simply change your consciousness. Stay where you are, but change your consciousness into Krishna consciousness. Arjuna said, I want to go to the forest, Krishna. I don't want to kill my relatives. Krishna said, no, stay where you are. You are a Kshatriya. You fight, you kill. But understand, I want these people to be killed. So you fight for my pleasure. So Arjuna did that. He stayed where he was. He was practicing the killing art. And he killed his enemies, so-called enemies, for Krishna's pleasure. And he became spiritually perfect. So Arjuna was a married man. He had two or three wives and children. General, prince. He was very responsible. He was responsible for all the citizens, so many citizens. And he stayed in that position. He didn't change his position. But he became spiritually perfect because he did everything for Krishna. He used all of his abilities for Krishna. So this is the simple process of Krishna consciousness. We don't have to change anything except our consciousness. And again, come to revive our original Krishna consciousness, which is already there in the heart. It's simply covered. So the process of Krishna consciousness is cleansing away the coverings so that the original Krishna consciousness will become manifest. Not that we are trying to achieve it. It's already there in the heart. That is why Krishna consciousness is so natural to take to. You see, the children come, they start jumping up and down and dancing in the kirtan. Nobody's telling them to do it. But it's a natural thing. They're only children. But you tell those children, we're going to teach you yoga. You sit down and you do these asanas and you meditate. We're only going to let you meditate for 5 minutes. How long are they going to sit down like this? About 2 seconds, I think. But we don't even tell them to come and chant Hare Krishna and dance. But immediately they're dancing, jumping. Because it's natural. It's coming directly from the soul. So this is the natural function of the soul to be Krishna conscious or to be a loving servitor of Krishna. So living like this, a Krishna consciousness, is a natural way of living. It is the way to live. Every other way is unnatural. We're living in an unnatural environment. We're living in an unnatural world. We belong in the spiritual world. But this is the spiritual activity. This is the spiritual environment that we create here. By keeping Krishna in the center and worshipping Krishna. So if we do this, then not only we get satisfaction, but the devotees become satisfied. Srila Prabhupada is very satisfied that his mission is expanding. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so pleased. Krishna is satisfied. If we can satisfy Krishna, then there is nothing else to be achieved in life. And how do we do that? Simply by serving Krishna. We're nothing else but Krishna's servants. So it's such a simple thing, this devotional service. Because we can do a little bit of service anywhere. And by doing that, we are constitutionally perfect. We are the eternal servants of Krishna. And so we can serve Krishna in our house, in the forest, anywhere actually, on the bus even. We can chant Hare Krishna. But we are situated perfectly within an imperfect material environment. It's such a natural and simple process. So please make your house very Krishna conscious. Invite your neighbors and friends. invite us again also. Then we can all dance and chant the glories of Radha and Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.